Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Good evening, this is Jay Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present We Shook the Family Tree, starring Anne Blythe. Bernard Shaw once said, youth is so wonderful, it's a shame to waste it on the young. Our story tonight is a true story about youth and an actual young person named Hildy. Hildy, at 18, wanted the world to be her oyster, but so far found it just a clamshell. You'll meet the real Hildy at the end of the program, and you'll see some of yourself in her story, as it's played tonight by one of Hollywood's most brilliant and engaging young actresses, Anne Blythe. Welcome, Anne. We're honored to have you with us.
The honor's mine, Jay. I knew our story was a true one, but I had no idea that Miss Dolson, the girl who actually lived this part, would be here in the studio tonight. I'll certainly have to be careful of what I say.
Well, don't worry, Anne. You'll realize when we talk to Miss Dolson later in the program that she's a very charming person. Besides, on the Hallmark show, you say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it.
You refer, of course, to Hallmark greeting cards. They certainly say what you want to say, the way you want to say it.
That's right, Anne. And to be sure of getting the finest, always look on the back of the card for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. But now, let's set our opening scene. It's an ordinary living room in an ordinary house in Franklin, Pennsylvania, in the Depression year of 1930. A sorely harassed father is facing his unique daughter. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition the hilarious true story of Hildy. We Shook the Family Tree, starring Anne Blythe.
Yes, dear?
You'd better brace yourself for a shock.
How's that?
I've made a big decision. I'm going to leave college and become a writer.
What? Now? At the beginning of your senior year?
Why not? You don't learn anything in college anyway.
Well, this is a fine time to tell me about it after all the money I've spent. Couldn't you have made this discovery when you were a freshman?
When I was a freshman, I didn't know about life. And that's what I want to write about, life.
But you haven't lived yet. You're only 20 years old.
What's the good of living if you can't do what you were born to do? Don't you see, this is my lifelong ambition. I've got to go to New York and become a writer.
For heaven's sake, why do you have to go to New York? You've got a pencil and paper right here.
Franklin, Pennsylvania is no place for a writer. I've got to see life in the real.
Well, what do you think New York is, a nudist colony?
Now, it's no use, Father. My mind's made up. Cousin Betty has gone to New York to study dancing, and we can room together.
Now, wait a minute, Hildy. There isn't anything in the world I wouldn't do to make you happy, but I paid your tuition and board.
Oh, we'll get that money back.
How?
Well, it says so right in the catalog. If anyone is sick and has to leave school in the middle of a term, the money will be refunded.
But you're not sick. You're as healthy as an ox.
Don't worry, Dad. I won't be when I speak to the president.
Wanted to see me, Miss Dolson?
Yes, sir. I have a very serious matter to discuss with you. I'm going to leave school.
Well, well, that is serious. May I ask why?
Well, the truth of the matter is, I'm ill.
Ill?
Mentally ill.
Oh, dear.
So may I please have my money back?
What money?
The tuition and board that was paid in advance. I'll need that money to live in New York and... in a sanitarium.
Well, what makes you think you're mentally ill, Miss Dolson?
Oh, this has been coming on for some time. I haven't mentioned it to anyone, of course, but I've been having dreams.
Well, most people do.
Oh, but not like mine. I keep dreaming about snakes in sheep's clothing. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm still asleep.
I see.
Oh, and there's something else wrong with me, too. I've forgotten how to read.
What?
Oh, I can see the letters all right, but they don't form into words.
Good heavens.
For a while, I thought I needed new glasses, but now I know what the trouble is. I need new eyes.
You want to see a doctor, Miss Dolson.
Oh, well, I will as soon as I get to New York. Will the college refund my money and let me go?
Why, of course. We wouldn't think of keeping you here.
Goodbye, Mother. Bye, Dad. I'll be a writer yet.
Now, don't forget to look up Cousin Betty as soon as you get to New York.
Oh, I'm meeting her at the McAlpin.
Well, for heaven's sake, be careful, dear. This is the first time you've ever been to a big city.
Sorry, lady, this cab is taken.
Oh, but there's plenty of room for another passenger. I'll ride in the back with this gentleman.
Huh?
That's the way we do in Franklin, Pennsylvania.
Well, if that's the way you do in Franklin, miss, you come right on in.
Yes, this is my very first visit to New York, but my cousin Betty is practically a native. She's been here 3 weeks. What? Is this the McAlpin already?
That's right. What room are you going to be in? If this cousin of yours is as good-looking as you are, maybe I can bring a friend around. We'll all get together.
Oh, I really can't accept a new stranger, but I certainly appreciate your hospitality. Honestly, New York is the most friendly city in the world. Tell you how delighted I am with New York, Betty. The tall buildings and that man in the taxi. Why, do you know I hadn't been with him for 5 minutes before he was inviting us out to dinner?
Well, it doesn't pay to get too friendly with people you meet in a taxi cab, Hildy. I've learned that already, and I've only been here 3 weeks.
Oh, don't you just love it?
Well, living in Brooklyn has its drawbacks. For me, I mean, I have to come all the way into dancing school on a thing called a subway. And if it's crowded, you find yourself standing in one car and breathing in another.
Well, that's life, Betty. And I came here to live.
Well, you can't do much living at Uncle George's house.
We don't have to live with him, do we? After all, we're professional people. Why can't we have a place of our own?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Only it's pretty expensive. The places I saw were so small you could get into bed and touch everything in the room.
Oh, we'll find something. Let's go out and look for a place right now.
Where?
Well, there's only one place I want to live. Right smack on Broadway.
Now, here's a nice room, girls. $12 a week, clean sheets every Tuesday, and a bath right down the hall. What's more, there's only one other person that uses it. A saxophone player. He don't bathe much.
What do you think, Shelby?
It's a far cry from Franklin, Pennsylvania.
Oh, never mind. Where does that window face, Mrs. Drury?
Right out onto Broadway. Broadway and 56th Street. And if you stick your neck out, you can see way down to Times Square.
Just think of it. Oh, Times Square, and all it costs is a stiff neck.
Oh, you like it here, girl. You're right in the swing of things.
That's what I'm afraid of. Those electric signs out there drive us crazy.
Oh, you'll get used to them in time.
I don't want to get used to them. I like them. They'll inspire us to succeed in our careers. But who knows? You might go into musical comedy, and I might write the book for you. Oh, we're bound to get ahead in a place like this.
All right, you win.
You mean you'll take it?
Wrap it up, Mrs. Drury. I mean it's taken. At last, I was a writer. But the people who buy stories didn't seem to think so. And it got so I never received a letter that didn't begin, "The editor's regret." But one day, after our funds had dwindled to an alarming low, Cousin Betty brought home a character who played the piano at a tap dancing school. A character named Artie.
Hildy, this is Artie.
How do you do?
Likewise.
Well, ask her, Artie. I'm sure she can do it.
Do what?
Write lyrics for a song. You know, make with the words while I make with the music. I'm dynamite on tunes. You know, if I could write Cole Porter words, I'd be another Irving Berlin. See what I mean?
I'm not quite sure I do. Besides, I just write stories. I don't know anything about
them. Oh, Hildy, it's for money. You'll get $5 for every song it says.
Oh, well, that's different from money. I can write lyrics. Where's the music?
In my head. Hasn't come out yet.
Well, what do I do? Just sit around and wait till it does?
Oh, no. You got to give me the inspiration. You write a poem like, and that gives me a musical idea.
Oh, it can't be the other way around, can it?
What other way around?
Well, you write the music, and that'll give me a poetic idea.
So she give me the business? Because I don't want to waste a lot of time if she don't know nothing about
that. Oh, she knows, Artie. What is there to know about writing a song?
Why, of course. It's like making up a limerick.
Then you'll write me a couple?
Why, certainly. If there's a chance of making some money out of it, I'll write you dozens of them. I think I'm a lousy songwriter.
Oh, be serious a minute, will you? I've got wonderful news. Artie just landed me a job.
A paying job?
Of course. I'm getting $30 for it. $30 for 1 week's work. And all I have to do is dance in a chorus line.
What's a chorus line?
Oh, you know, Hildy, you've seen those girls at Radio City, the ones that kick and step. Well, I'll be kicking the theater, too, for a whole week.
Gee, that's wonderful. You've started your career, Betty.
Well, you started yours, too. Artie sold one of your songs for the opening chorus number.
Sold it? Really sold it?
I've got your $5 right here in my pocket.
And they're going to sing it in the theater? Oh, Betty, our dreams are coming true. You on the stage and my words coming out of your mouth. What theater are they going to sing it in?
Well, I don't know the name of it, but the sign on the outside says burlesque.
Burlesque? What's that?
I don't know. Archie says it's sort of like vaudeville, only not quite. Just think, the theater's on 42nd Street.
42nd Street. Burlesque. Oh, Betty, wait till we tell our families. They'll be tickled to death.
We'll continue with the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented to you by the makers of Hallmark Cards, America's favorite greeting cards. First, however, a little-known fact about a painting you all know, the Mona Lisa by Leonardo da Vinci. For nearly 4 years, Leonardo worked on this great masterpiece with a painstaking care and meticulous attention to detail that have made it today the most famous painting in the world. Yet the artist himself never considered it finished. For that reason, the Mona Lisa was not even delivered to the man who had commissioned it to be done. Such was the passion for perfection of the great Leonardo da Vinci. The folks who make Hallmark greeting cards approach their work with that same scrupulous care, the same exacting attention to detail. For they're not making just cards. They're creating Hallmark cards. Greeting cards that are warm and friendly and sincere. Cards that have a wonderful way of saying just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. That's also why those three words on the back, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now our program continues with Act Two of We Shook the Family Tree, starring Anne Blythe.
The prospect of having a debut in burlesque assumed the proportions of a Hollywood premiere. Artie gave me two tickets for the first performance, and in my most sophisticated manner, I invited a young man from the intercollegiate club to escort me to the theater. But when we arrived there, my young man looked a bit shocked.
Are you sure this is the right place, Hildy?
Why, of course. This is 42nd Street, isn't it?
Yes, but you said you had tickets for the theater.
Well, what do you suppose this is?
A burlesque house.
That's right, burlesque. It's sort of like vaudeville.
It is?
Haven't you ever been to a burlesque show?
Well, yes. Have you?
Oh, I go all the time. It's sort of like vaudeville.
You surprise me, Miss Dolson.
Well, because I've written a number for the opening chorus. I've come a long way from Franklin, Pennsylvania, Ernest.
I guess you have. You know, I always thought you were a sweet little girl who drank milk and ate graham crackers. But burlesque? Wow!
Well, that's a fine thing to say about this show. My cousins are... For heaven's sake, what's the matter with you? There's nothing wrong with being in a chorus, and there's nothing wrong with burlesque either. Or is there?
No, not at all, not at all. It's sort of like vaudeville.
It seems like there are an awful lot of men in this theater. I wonder why.
It must be a convention.
Gee, well, I hope that... Oh, heavens, there go the footlights. In a minute, we'll be hearing my song. And Betty looks lovely in that gingham dress.
Yeah, lovely. Hildy, maybe we ought to go now.
Go? Don't be silly. I want to see the rest of the show.
Huh. Okay, Hildy. You'll see. In about 2 minutes.
Lasted considerably longer. But after that, it was one sad disappointment after another. The editors were regretting again, and our efforts to locate a job of any kind proved futile. Finally, we were down to our last few dollars.
I guess we'll have to go back to Franklin, Hildy.
Can't we stay another week?
If we do, we won't be able to get back.
Well, but there must be some way of cutting down on expenses. What would happen if we didn't eat this week?
We'd be awfully hungry.
Maybe that would help us get a job. If we had that hungry look, people might want to feed us.
Not in New York. In Cypher, they take care of people, but in New York, they only feed the birds.
I wonder what bird food is like.
Oh, Hildy, if you're that anxious to stay here, we can go back to Burlesque.
Oh, no. No, I'd rather go back to Franklin.
Well, we can't stay here anymore, Hildy. Not without paying Mrs. Drury the rent.
Maybe we can get a smaller room.
There's no such thing.
All right, I'll go. Just give me a minute to say goodbye to the furniture.
Minutes all you'll need to say goodbye to this furniture.
Well, let me stick my neck out again. I want to see Times Square once more. I want to breathe its air.
You've got the same air in Franklin, if you stand behind the bus.
Oh, Betty, I'll never be able to look a typewriter in the face again. Yes, who is it?
It's me, Dora, Mrs. Drury.
Come in, Mrs. Drury.
Oh, I've got some news for you, girl.
We got some news for you, too.
Well, let me tell you mine first. Now, which one of you is the one who knows how to use a typewriter?
I do, but it doesn't do me any good.
Well, it will now. I've got a job for you.
Not writing songs, I hope.
No, writing letters and things. My sister's brother-in-law works in a factory downtown, and his boss needs a secretary. Could you be a secretary in a frame factory for $15 a week?
For $15 a week, I could see the frame factory. Where is this place, and how do I get the job?
Well, you go down to Varick Street the first thing in the morning, and my sister's brother-in-law will take you in to see the boss, Mr. Harding. After that, you're on your own.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Drury. You're like a fairy godmother.
down, Miss Dolson. Have you ever been a secretary before?
Well, no, Mr. Harding, but I've never been a lyric writer before either until I was one.
How's that?
Oh, I'm just trying to tell you that I'm pliable. I can do almost anything once I put my mind to it.
Can you make out a bill of lading?
Oh, sure, if you tell me what it is.
You've never kept books before, have you?
Oh, I always keep books. I've got a whole library at home.
No, that isn't what I mean.
Oh, what do you mean, Mr. Harding? I'm so anxious to please you. Really, I am. And if you'll give me just half a chance, I know I can be a good secretary to you.
Well, why should I go to all the trouble of breaking in somebody without any experience?
Because I need the job, Mr. Harding. And if you don't take me, who will?
Well, that's the scariest recommendation I've ever heard.
You mean you'll take me?
I'm afraid I'll have to. I haven't got the heart to turn you down. Now, this is a debit, Miss Dolson, not a credit. When you draw $1,000 out of the bank, that is a debit.
Well, don't you credit yourself with $1,000?
Not on this page. Any withdrawal is entered as a debit.
And depreciation of machinery is entered as a credit.
That's right.
Well, why should that be a credit to anyone?
Now, look, let's not go into the philosophy of bookkeeping. You've got these figures all balled up.
Well, I said to myself, if Mr. Harding subtracted this thing from that thing last month, I might as well subtract the same things this month.
But they aren't the same things. These things and those things can't be subtracted and added together in the same column. Otherwise, debits and credits... I don't know.
I'm sorry, Mr. Harding. I'm of no use to you, am I?
Well, you answer the phone nicely. But if you keep on with these books, it won't ring anymore.
All right, I'll
go. Wait a minute.
Oh, no, you don't want me anymore, so I just...
Well, you can learn, Miss Dolson. What the heck? You're still learning to write stories, aren't you? So why give up on this?
This is harder.
No, don't be silly. All you have to do is get straightened out on your debits and credits. The debits you keep on this side. The credits you keep over here. But if you...
Mr. Harding, come quickly.
What's the matter?
The books, Mr. Harding. Look at the books.
Well, what's happened to them?
Nothing happened, Mr. Harding. They fell and... That I could strike a balance assured my success with the Harding Frame Company. But within 4 weeks of my first miracle, a second one transpired. I received a check from the New Yorker for a story of mine. A check for $50. For the first time, Mr. Harding looked at me as if I were a credit to the factory that raised me. He pointed me out to his salesman and made me show them the check. But after I'd carried it around for 2 weeks, he gave me a word of advice.
Look, kid, it's bad business to hold on to a check after you get it. Take it to the bank further so it won't bounce on you.
But I was going to keep this check.
Keep it? What for?
Oh, as a memento of all the things I've been through to become a writer. This is the first writing money I've ever made, except when I was in burlesque.
Burlesque? You?
Well, though, just for a week. It's sort of like vaudeville.
Look, honey, keeping your first check is nice, sweet sentiment and all that baloney, but why cheat yourself out of $50 and why give it to the New Yorker?
They deserve it. After all, they bought my story.
But if you don't cash the check, they won't be buying it. They'll be getting it for nothing.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Look, go down to the bank and cash it, kid. Otherwise, you'll ball up their book.
You mean they won't know whether to enter it as a debit or a credit?
Something like that. I tell you what you do, kid. Take the picture of this check, and I'll have it framed.
Framed?
Yes, then you'll have the check and the cash, too.
Why, thank you, Mr. Harding, I will. And someday, when I'm old and gray, my grandchildren will look at it and say, this is the check that shook the family tree.
Thank you, Anne Blythe. Ladies and gentlemen, Anne Blythe will return in just a moment with our special guest. But first, I'd like to remind you that 1 week from this coming Sunday is Mother's Day. Don't let your mother feel that she has been forgotten on her day. You'll want to send her a greeting that's warm and sincere and affectionate. That's why you should make it a point to choose a Hallmark greeting card for your mother. Whether she's very modern or quite old-fashioned, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So why not select one tomorrow? Just stop in at one of those fine stores that carry Hallmark cards and see the large and attractive selections now on display for Mother's Day. And be sure to look for those three words on the back, a Hallmark card, the words that tell your mother you cared enough to send the very best. And now, again, here's Anne Blythe. Thank you, Anne, for a delightful performance.
I love playing Hildy, Mr. Jackson, but it's my turn to step aside for the real Hildy in person.
Thank you, Miss Blythe. If I'd ever sounded as enchanting as you did tonight, I'm sure half the story never would have happened.
I thought getting a start in the theater was hard, but it was nothing compared to your trouble.
Well, you look very young, Miss Dawson, for those experiences. I'd like to know what happened after the frame factory.
I got a job in advertising. Then to get out of advertising, I wrote a book.
So, is that about your own life, too?
Not so far. It was about how to get a man.
Oh, was it successful?
Well, I didn't get the man.
Well, when can we expect a new Hildegard Dawson book?
I have a novel coming out this summer.
What's the title?
Well, I seem to have a one-track mind. It's called The Husband Who Ran Away.
Well, put me on the publication list, Miss Dawson. And as you like real-life stories, I think you'll enjoy our next program. It's about a remarkable man who changed a shipload of people in a way they never dreamed.
And I understand that this man will be played by the remarkable actor Raymond Massey.
That's right. So join us next week when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present a true-life story which the leading character has called Bonus Notch's Pal, our star, Raymond Massey. Universal International picture, Another Part of the Forest, in which she co-stars with Frederick March, Edmund O'Brien, and Van Derye. In tonight's story, Anne Blythe was supported by Pauline Drake in the role of Betty. We Shook the Family Tree was dramatized by Robert Sloan and was based on the true story from a book of the same title by Hildegard Dawson, as condensed in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Now, this is Jay Jackson saying good night to you all until next week at the same time, when our story will be Bonus Notch's Pal, starring Raymond Massey. Other stars soon to appear on your Hallmark program include Burgess Meredith, Luana Patton, and William Powell.
This is KMBC, Kansas City, Missouri.